Welcome back to the Not Just a Pony Ride podcast. I'm your host, Katie Ott, and you are listening to the one and only dedicated show for the equine assisted services community. Today is a part two, so hopefully you listened to episode 78, which was last week. And as a reminder, it was Miss Kimberly Thomas, and she is the executive director for Epic for Girls here in Omaha. And last week she talked with us about different types of boards of directors, how to recruit them, board terms, expectations, how often should your board meet, how big should it be, all kinds of kind of introductory things on really successfully managing your board of directors. And today we're going to dive just a little bit further and deeper into some of the sticky things that you get into with your board of directors. Things like, or you have a member that just isn't a good fit, right? Or what about salary? How big of a conversation, you know, how big of a part of a conversation should your board of directors be when you're setting salaries and what is fair and all of that? So we're gonna talk a little bit about burnout, all kinds of things. And it's just packed full of really, really good information. So saddle up and stay tuned. If you haven't heard part one, go back and listen to that now. Also, hang on until the end, because for my friends at Patreon, I'm giving away a freebie that really helps our board evaluate our CEO or our executive director. And we believe that's a huge part of your board of directors and what they should be doing. So stay tuned to hear more about that and enjoy. So with these different types of boards, are there different things that our board should be helping us with? So I know there's like governance boards or advisory boards, like that type of a thing. I mean, How many decisions do our boards actually make for us as nonprofits, right? How do you decide that?
Good, well, that's a really, I think, again, as it depends on where you're at and at what stage you're at as a board and as an organization, those major events, for sure, your board should be deliberating over them. They should be talking about them. So when we're talking about strategic planning, So they're more process oriented and vision driven. And if you're kind of smoothly functioning, you should have a routine of you're reviewing finances, you're talking about more high level, how do we increase our impact? How do we do more strategic thinking as a board? And how can we support our executive director in doing that? So thinking about fundraising, if we have decided on a strategic plan and we know we want to hire folks or we want to start programs, what are things that the board can do and can act on to support that? And so connecting to other community members, connecting to friends and family and peers that might have access to resources that we don't have. Your board should have action pretty often. Regular committee meetings, really, again, you're going to have heavier kind of programmatic discussions maybe in the beginning. And then it should really be checking in and evaluating and making sure you're staying aligned with your mission. But when it comes down to it, you know, those processes then become on a cadence of, okay, every year we have to do our budget and we have to make sure we're aligned and we have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that we can, say with certainty that they're operating and serving the population. Mm-hmm. But then your strategic planning, you're on a 2-3 year cadence. Your fundraising plan. That's what I would say is probably the hardest thing to get board members to do is ask for money. And some people think about it that very black and white thinking. I try to get any board that I'm working with to understand that it's not just about walking up to somebody and asking them if they have money that they can give to X organization, mm-hmm. but it's really about sharing their posts on social media. It's about bringing folks in and introducing them to the organization. It's showing up at events, sometimes just seeing your face and maybe seeing a branded shirt or something mm-hmm. that, has Hetra on it. it starts a conversation, you know, getting folks able to speak effectively, you know, in, you know, we talk about the elevator speeches and things like that, being able to really serve as an ambassador. That's off. Those are often things that nonprofits don't have the money to do, right? Hire marketing companies and run campaigns. And that's what we really need you to do. And so sitting down and thinking about how the board can support in those ways is really helpful to an ED and to the operational staff.
Mm-hmm. So the importance of networking and being able to really get your arms wrapped around what the mission of your organization is, if you're on a board, is important. So is there sort of an onboarding process? Like, I identify that this person would be great to be on my board. They may or may not know a lot about our organization. You know, how do you kind of get them in the loop and really educated and rooted, I guess, in your mission and that sort of a thing?
Yeah, for us, we're going through this process right now. It's important, I think, you know, arming people with, you know, not just enough information, but more than enough information that they can go out and they feel confident. I think that's the biggest thing, is people will pick up on that very quickly, that you are half in and half out the door. And so we have a process that starts right from right recruitment, where we are clear about expectations. We have an application, we have an interview process, and we go through a board vote. And then after that, that onboarding has a specified time that also includes access to now organizational documents that will help you get to understand on a technical side where the organization is, and then introduces you right to the people and the places and the, you know, the impact. And so really then showing them how, as a board member, here's where you operate at. So it's a, you know, we call it our board handbook, but really giving them, arming them with the tools. Here's what being a board member, you know, from very industry leading types of maybe sources. And then also from our perspective, here's how you can be effective, and really getting that in their hands. And then, you know, giving them access to your strategic plan, your budget. And again, depending on how you onboard, mm-hmm. in terms of, do you onboard at one time of the year, or do you onboard when a slot comes open? You have to do what's best for you and that fits, you know, how much work you have to dedicate to that or not. Right now we're doing a one time of the year, but really giving that individual the opportunity to ask questions, mm-hmm. and to kind of do their research, but providing the information to do their research. Right. So yeah, of course they can look on your website, but how now as a board member, do you get to, you know, research in the documents that we have you provided with?
Yeah. And I think that's, we have that battle kind of all the time, and not necessarily with our board members, but I just think about our industry as a whole. Like, sometimes you don't know what keywords to even Google, right? Yeah. So just like giving them the information that they need to do the research on their own is something that can, right. be really helpful.
And we just, again, we try to just be very like, this is not a reflection of you. We give everybody this information. And I think, again, putting everybody in a space where they can feel supported is really important, and equipping them with the right tools and materials is helpful, because then, you know, again, we're talking the same language, we're on the same page, and allowing people the space to ask those questions in a non-threatening way, because people want to serve. I think we come from a community, especially, I mean, Nebraska is, you know, high on the volunteerism scale. When you look at nationally, you know, we rank very high. And so it doesn't, for me, I don't ever think that it comes from a bad place when somebody's disengaged. And I think as a board member where I've served, and also as the ED, it's our job to then reach out to people that we think are disengaged or are kind of on the outside, and ask those questions. And sometimes it might be just something going on in their family, but giving them the tools is, I think, the most important thing.
Right. Okay. So here's a question. What if you kind of go through some of this onboarding process and they just don't resonate, or they just decide that this isn't, you know, a great fit, or you have someone that maybe served on the board a while and you're like ready for them to move on, that sort of a thing. What do you kind of do with people that aren't a good match?
Well, what I say to my ED friends is that's only part, that's just a little bit of your job, but it's really the board's job to identify that. It's our job to help set up those structures. So that's where that board report card comes in. So we give that report card. Maybe we should think of another term for it. It sounds very formal as I say it, right? But we give that to them quarterly. So it helps them go like, all right, here I am. But it also gives the board chair, who is actually the individual in charge of the board, along with the executive committee, we give those report cards to them so they can see individually how members are performing to the expectation. And so as the year's going on, it gives them reminders of here's what you have left to do, or here's targets that you are, you know, supposed to hit. And then the board chair then would probably have a conversation with the ED, like, ooh, looks like, you know, maybe this individual is struggling a bit. Their attendance, you know, only hit maybe 50% for the year. They, you know, haven't, you know, served on a committee. And that is part of having some critical conversations and really empowering the board chair to have those. Of course, you can sit in on those if you're invited. But again, sometimes it's just those conversations that we have to have as executive directors with you know, staff that we're working with. The same way, like we have to recognize that ultimately that impacts the organization's performance. And sometimes those are tough conversations. But I think if you come from a place of understanding, people often know where they're performing. They know that they're not meeting expectation. And every conversation that I've had like that has never been oppositional or bad. It's been, I'm so sorry. Mm. I know X, Y, and Z. And it's a very easy conversation. I think the hardest part is when EDs are expected to have those conversations with their supervisor-ish, the board, right? Mm-hmm. It's sometimes, especially in smaller organizations, the ED may be the only paid staff, or maybe even operating in a volunteer space, but it's difficult when like they've hired you and now you are monitoring them. Right. And so sometimes board chairs don't even know the full capacity or expectations of their role. And so again, I think those one-on-one conversations, I have those every month with my board chair, being able to have those conversations and say, I need you to have a conversation with X, but that can't be from me because that's just not in my job.
Are you looking for a leg up in communicating more effectively with participants in your therapeutic writing and EAL lessons? Teaching Aids for EAS comes to the rescue with a range of more than 70 visual aids designed specifically for our industry. Each one has been designed by a PATH International certified professional who understands the unique challenges that we face inside and outside the arena. Visit teachingaidsforeas.com today to shop their range of fun, scalable, and affordable products, including flashcards, posters, activity boards, PEX cards, handheld cueing paddles, arena games, and more. They also work directly with instructors and centers to design custom products and solutions. As a special treat for my Not Just a Pony Ride listeners, use code HETRA, H-E-T-R-A, for 10% off your order now through May 10th at teachingaidsforeas.com. This might be a silly question. Are board chairs and EDs ever the same?
Sometimes. So sometimes, especially in like founding or, you know, very new organizations or organizations that maybe, you know, rural communities, smaller communities where maybe you have a need, but it may never cross that threshold where it's big enough. Right. I actually was just talking with someone a few minutes ago, and they're the ED and kind of the board chair. And that's challenging again, because it's almost like you have to separate your roles. but they don't separate. So yeah, then you're also having some very difficult conversations, and that's where other members of the board need to step up and support, because it's uncomfortable. Being an ED is very difficult. It's very, I call it lonely. I don't know if that's the right word. It's very island-esque.
You know? Yeah.
You know, cause you also want to perform, and you want to be somebody that is seen as competent, and you can't share that information with staff, and you don't want to share it with your boss, who's then going to decide whether you get a raise or not. So it can be really difficult. And that's why I would encourage all EDs, no matter the size, really to find a community where you can be vulnerable and bounce some ideas off of folks. We've had some donors here in Omaha specifically, and I know they've extended those opportunities statewide for nonprofit EDs to really come together and have leadership training and build community around the unique challenges. And I mean, it's great too, right? I mean, it's amazing to lead an organization and to see the impact that you have. So it's not all bad, don't get me wrong, but no. I think there are some unique challenges of being an ED, maybe different than corporate world. And so if you are from the corporate world, figure out how you can support your ED. I am an ED, you know, perspective, board, kind of board engagement.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such an important take home, is that it doesn't even have to be an ED of a similar organization to yours, right? It could be any nonprofit. If you are in a rural community or something, I think about what we do specifically, like in equine assisted services, there aren't a lot of them out there in some regions, right? Even in Nebraska, where, you know, we're farther and fewer between than other areas of the world. So get plugged into somewhere that just has other nonprofit EDs or, you know, things like that in general.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've learned the most, and I've felt an amazing sense of relief from just, we get content specific training, you know, this, right? We're like, okay, you probably go to, you know, therapeutic, you know, how to implement this practice, that practice, yeah, that practice. But being able to be in a space and hear other people that are experiencing the same challenges or successes and how they're navigating that is so important. Find somebody that you can pair up with. I mean, that's something that I really believe in, and I try to help as, you know, as often as I can, but find another organization. It doesn't have to be in your mission. Right. You can learn from each other. I learned so much from other people.
Right. I think that's like a whole nother can of worms that we could probably talk about forever, but I think that's why we see so much kind of that compassion fatigue and burnout and things in nonprofit management and ED, is because of, like you said, like you feel you're helping the community with your organization and you don't want to look like, you know, you don't have it all together. It's just, there's a lot of community perspective and staff perspective, and there's a lot of eyes on nonprofit than there is, I would say, in corporate America. I don't know if you find that is true as well, but I just feel that way.
Well, it comes from multiple directions, right? I mean, I think, of course, if you run a company, you want your staff and your employees to perform, mm-hmm, and you want to look like you know what you're talking about. But we have the funder perspective as well. And I think maybe, you know, corporations or whatever have investors, but it's just slightly different, right? Because you've got your board and you've got your constituents and you've got your employees and you've got your investors, and you have multiple stakeholders that are watching what you're doing. And sometimes we're expected to do it for really cheap too. So I'm also a very strong proponent of paying nonprofit professionals what they deserve. This is not easy work. This is not a clock in and out job. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of heavy, heavy stuff in what we're doing. And I would argue that we need to get paid more, right? Like, we are ensuring that the community is here and is healthy and, you know, able to to wake up the next day, you know, in many cases, I mean, basic needs. And I think that sometimes there's this misnomer that we, you know, we get our, you know, we're going to get our payment in whatever heaven, whatever afterlife you believe in. And that's just not fair. And that if we advocate for pay, that we're somehow greedy, that like we're taking away from individuals that we serve. And I credit, you know, the nonprofit foundations and folks that I've never been challenged on that, that mindset. I think it's hardest for a lot of times for our boards to understand that staff and the people executing the mission deserve to be paid their worth. And so I really hammer that home when I get to talk with boards, and I would say that's where you see a lot of breakdown in between executive directors and boards. Having this conversation can really just like give a bad taste in your mouth when you talk with some board members and they're like, oh my gosh, you give them an inch, they take a mile. And that mindset is just, I think your role as a board member is to go, does this fit? Can we sustain it or does it not? Mm-hmm. And not really get into the weeds about whether someone deserves it or not, really leaving that up to the executive director and balancing that with nonprofit standards and job descriptions and things like that. And really just going as a fiduciary, as a board member, is that, is this something that we can support? And I think that's really where your decision ends. You know, you approve a budget or you don't, and getting into the weeds, what does Johnny make? What does Susie make? No.
Because that's, boards don't, some do, but boards don't have to have a say in salary for everybody except the ED, right? Don't they kind of set the salary for the ED, but the rest is kind of up to however you manage it?
I would say boards should not be involved. They should be involved in helping determine the direction and what kind of maybe staff people person we are looking for, mm-hmm. and what levels are the, is that an executive level? Is that a mid-manager, manager level? Is that a direct line staff? But then it's really up to the ED to determine the job descriptions. And right, it should come from the ED first to them. They can go, this doesn't look like it aligns. But that's why it's important to have strategic plans, because when you approve the strategic plan, that doesn't get in those weeds, right? The strategic plan is about direction, and the ED and his or her staff get to define how does that look like in implementation. And so I would say, boards should not be involved ever in determining how much an individual beyond the executive director gets paid. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's with caution, right? Like you're not going to pay people more than, right? Your executive director, you set that salary, and then you encourage what are best practices around determining salary. Go to the nonprofit salary survey, look at another organization that looks like ours with maybe the same impact or the same budget size or something like that, then determining salary. But when it comes down to like the dollars and cents, it really is more about a process versus the detail.
Yeah. And the overall budget has to make sense, right? And the board is key in that, the overall budget. So, I mean, if there's a discrepancy, that will come up inevitably with like, oh, you're paying Bob $1 million or whatever. But
well, your finance committee, right, is going to be, they're going to be working through that budget that you're going to present to the board. You know, there's transparency in this process. It's just as a whole board, you should not be asking how much does Katie make? Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Yeah. Unless Katie is our direct hire as an executive director, you shouldn't have that conversation, right? Because that invites a whole other set of do you know what their job is, you know, right? And you have to know all those things to be able to, not just on personality, should you decide whether they should make that or not.
Yeah, I would guess that there's probably not a lot of board members out there who know exactly what we should pay, like our equine operations manager. No, not too many people
know that. I'm an AD, right? But and I set salaries all the time, but I don't even know that. So you absolutely 100% shouldn't, yeah, know that as a board member, unless you've done that. And that's where, right, like sometimes you get a content expert and you're like, can you help me? Because maybe you're so unique, but most of the time you can find that information out in best practice ways, right? Nonprofit surveys and things like that.
Well, very good. Kim, I've learned so much today. I got to be honest. I'm like, I don't know a whole lot about boards. So this is going to be a legitimate, candid conversation where I learn as much as our audience does. So I was really, really happy with this.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I mean, I do love this. Mm-hmm. I love this community. I love this particular topic. I feel really strongly about it. And I hope that I hope there's one thing that people can take, you know, or that's helpful. And yeah, it's been fun.
Is there anything, I'm going to ask you your wrap-up question, of course, but is there anything else you would like to kind of impart with people on your way out of today's episode?
I think the only thing that I would say is just be courageous. Be courageous mm-hmm. in what you do. I think you're doing the tough work. You're in this field, and as a board member, you have been selected, chosen, however you made it to the board. You're a board member now. Like, embrace your role, be courageous, have conversations that really try to advance your mission. Mm-hmm. So that would be all I would leave people with.
I love that. All right, Kim. Well, before I let you go off to your busy day, I do ask a wrap-up question at every episode. And this season, the wrap-up question is, what is your golden rule? Someone will remember you for something. What would it be?
Yeah, I called my daughter and it's something that I live in my personal and professional. I said, what would you say? And she was able to recite it back to me. So I was like, I knew it was my golden rule.
That was it.
So it's, you know, it's important to be, or so it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. Mm-hmm. And I think if more people just operated from that space, we would be doing a lot better. And that can translate into many different venues and spaces. Just be kind to people, really come from a place of trying to understand. And I think we're going to be successful.
I love that. That could go on a sign, I feel like, in so many places in this world.
It was actually in my house too. Like I put that on my walls for my girls. Like I just really wanted them to not mm-hmm. be driven by external factors.
Yeah. What other people think and, you know, that sort of a thing. It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Kim. I really appreciate you. I know you are a busy lady. So thank you for sticking around with us. And I'm sure we'll see you down the road soon.
Was there a horse that just walked by?
There was, yes.
I missed the horses. It was so nice seeing you, Katie.
Yes, you come out to our barn anytime, Kim. You're welcome.
I will. Bye.
Bye. Calling all of our friends who are part of the Educational Club at Patreon. So you just heard Kim talk a little bit about how your board chair and your board is really responsible for evaluating your ED. And we want to share our evaluation form with you. So every year our board, each individual board member fills out this evaluation form on our CEO, and it basically rates her in, or whoever your director is, rates them based on performance, so how they've been doing in various different areas. So administration, interpersonal, like how their communication is and things, individual, so do they put effort? Are they credible? Are they flexible? Their leadership style, so how do they build their team? Do they empower their team and in their coaching style and all of that? And then they rate them kind of on a scale of 1 to 5. And then they talk about some of their performance highlights and what do they need to improve on. And then the board chair kind of puts all of those evaluations together and presents them to the executive director in sort of a summarized fashion, hoping that there's a consensus, right? So this enables our board to give input to our executive director and help them be the best that they can be for our organization. And we believe this is a huge part of what your board should be doing. And so that's why we wanted to share it with all of our friends at Patreon. So if you're not a member,
I put the link in the show notes. Go down and click there and hop on to subscribe. It's only $5 and you get access to a free CEU eligible webinar every month and lots of other perks, ground curriculums, all kinds of stuff for free, including this evaluation form. So head over there if you're interested, and we'll see you guys next time.
That's all for today. But until the next episode launches, scroll down to the show notes and click on the link to get plugged in with us on Facebook, Instagram, or our exclusive educational club at Patreon. This podcast is presented by Hetzer University, the educational arm of Heartland Equine Therapeutic Riding Academy in Gretna, Nebraska. Hetzer University's mission is to provide high-quality educational offerings to the EAS community. Check out all the Hetzer University has to offer at www.hetzeruniversity.org.